Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, grab your sword so we can kick some butt. John 10, verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up another way, the same is a thief and a robber. In other words, he's warning us that many people are going to try to tell us that there's another way to heaven. And it's many people, I mean, I'm hearing preachers say that too. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. That's why it's vital that we do hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. That's called being led by the Spirit. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now again, it's not just about the voice. It's about the knowing that comes that says right, wrong. This way, not that way. Does everybody understand that? I mean, sometimes God doesn't speak to you. He's expecting you to know. That's why we must know. That's why you got to know his word, right? So what we're doing is we're exchanging our soul for the area of God's words, God's promises, God's voice. Because in me and you, because your soul is what interprets what God says. So in this, we have to have an interpretation, and the Holy Spirit is what uses your soul to interpret. So there's an area where you know what's right and wrong. In fact, we were born with what's right and wrong. Problem is we didn't know how to handle it or what to do with it. We were weak in the areas of saying no to what was wrong and saying yes to what was right. Hallelujah. Verse 5. Is everybody there? Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the strangers. Jesus used this illumination, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. In verse 7, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. Who's the thief? The devil and his cohorts. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Life and more, that we may have life abundantly by the cooperation with the plan of grace. Again, it's cooperation with the plan of grace. That we may, that's why he said that they may is associated with might. That they might have this. Why? Because without cooperation with the plan of grace, you can't have abundant life. Does everybody get it? That they may have life abundantly by the cooperation with the plan of grace. God has given many people new life, but they've chose not to cooperate, and then they lose it. You know, when you get something, it tells you this is how you maintain it. There's usually instructions on how to maintain something. Amen? It maintains a warranty. Okay, if you follow this in this new microwave, super-duper microwave that washes dishes and everything else, if you follow the instructions, in other words, if you cooperate with the plan of maintaining it, there'll be a warranty on it. But if you choose not to follow the plan to maintain it, there is no warranty. You lose it. Hallelujah. Not that we need microwaves to wash dishes, right? although it'll be something new. Might be a new invention around the corner that we don't know yet. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Praise God. Do not what? Love the world. In other words, do not love the world system. Do not love the world system. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So do not love the world system with its false realities and desires that are not of the Father. But maintain cooperation with the plan of grace so that we can escape the deception of the old life. And press into the new life's reality. New life's reality. And that can only be done in Christ. I'm going to say this again. Everybody okay? Hallelujah. Do not love the world system with its false realities and its desires that are not of the Father, but maintain cooperation with the plan of grace so that we can escape the deception of the old life and press into the new life's reality in Christ. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Did y'all get that? Too bad. I'd say get the tape, but we don't do tapes no more. You'll have to get it on Eternal Library. Refresh yourself with it. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Thank you, Lord. Little children, it is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which it is, which we know that it is a what? Last hour. They went out from us. In other words, many people have started, but because they didn't maintain their cooperation, they went out. They were taken out. Why? Because the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You know all things. So again, they went out from among the kingdom. You know, one of the things about and everything... You know, most of the time, and many of us, were never brought up to learn how to fight spiritually. I know I wasn't. In and out of jail, addicted. Lust, living the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Because I didn't know how to fight. Live by emotions. Live by desires. Live by what the world told me. I didn't know. Until Jesus truly stepped into my life. And I surrendered to him all the way. I didn't tell him how I needed to live. I didn't tell him what I wanted. Because obviously the old life was deceived and didn't know how to live and didn't know what it wanted except for fulfill its own desires. But when he took over my life, when he became Lord, not just Savior, that's when everything changed. See, he can't change anything in your life until he becomes Lord over your life. You just go around that cycle again over and over and over until he finally says, are you ready? He meets you around the circle every time. I'm still your Savior. But remember, who you serve when you die is where you go. I'm trying to be Lord so you cooperate and get out of this circle, of this cycle of deception. When you begin to cooperate out of that cycle of deception, that's when that new life chain comes to manifestation. Now you're living the new life. Not the new life of the world, the new life of the Spirit. It's different. And so many people don't get that. They're still bound by religion. They're still bound by works. You see all of these people knocking on your doors. Hi, Jehovah Witnesses and all these other Mormons and whatever they are. They believe that they have to have works to get into heaven. And it's not by works, it's by relationship. And by relationship, when you truly have a relationship with someone, there's a respect to that person. And there's a cooperation to that person and each other. Amen? And this is how God created me and you. We need each other, but we need him more. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Living the new life. How you doing today, man? I'm living the new life. Praise God. I'm blessed and highly flavored. You know, I my brakes didn't hit living the old life. And so I was arrested. So I got in trouble. In other words, there's usually chaos or something that's involved. People get sick. They've been told certain diseases, and, you know, and it's like God saying, do you have my attention yet? Hello, I'm here. You want help? I'm willing to help you. I can help you, but you can't help yourself. I can help you, but you can't help yourself. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Oh, Corinthians, oh, hallelujah. We have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own what? Desires. By your own affections, which is desire. So they're restricted by the desires of the flesh. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. In other words, be open to change. Do not be unevenly yoked with together with what? Unbelievers. There's a lot of people that say they're believers, but the word believe means to follow. So he's saying, get away from the bad company cross what? Good habit. For what fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has a temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I'll walk among them, I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. If they do what? Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. In other words, come out from the unclean world system. Come out. Restricted. Restricted by desires of lust, come out of the false realities attached to the present-day world. It's a present-day world of deception. Stop touching the past and renew your thinking and identity in Christ. Renew it. Refresh it. That's why the Bible says, forsake not to assemble. Amen? Because people will, look at, the enemy knows how to slide people away. Exodus 17. In verse 1. Now all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rehoboam, but there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses says to him, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people complained against Moses. And Moses said, why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with us? With what? Thirst. They were thirsty. Physically thirsty, but they didn't know they were spiritually thirsty. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, Also take your hand, your rod, with which you struck the river, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah and Horeb, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "The Lord among us, is he among us or not among us?" Moses strikes a rock, water flows to drink. People were more concerned with the water than the reality of, wait a minute, that water came from a rock. Think about this. They didn't care about the rock. They were more concerned about the water to drink, not realizing that the rock was, of course, was going to be a representation of Jesus at some time. They were more concerned with the water than the miracle of the rock that produced living water. Why? Because without water, they couldn't live. Jesus is the rock that was crucified to bring eternal living water for me and you. So this was a prophetic inside moment that had to be fulfilled. In fact, Moses had to do this again. And this is what prevented Moses from getting into heaven or getting into the promised land. He got into heaven, I'm sorry. But this prevented him from getting into the promised land here on earth. And when the Lord told, because this happened again, and the Lord told him the next time that this happened to speak to the rock, because it was fulfillment of the ministry of the Spirit, because to speak is breath, and that means spirit. So Moses was supposed to speak to the rock at the next time they stopped, instead of striking him, because Jesus didn't need to be struck twice. And instead, Moses was so frustrated and angry and upset with everyone because they were harassing him so much that he forgot he was supposed to speak to the rock, and he struck the rock. Water still came out. But the Lord said, because of your disobedience, you cannot enter the promised land. See, much is given, much is required. Everybody okay? John 4, verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made the baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he ended up to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, and near the plot of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Joseph's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Sounds familiar? About the sixth hour? Hello? And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then a woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." But Jesus wasn't that way. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to her, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never thirst. For the water that I give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And a woman said to him, "Sir, Give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you're shacking up with right now is not your husband, and that you spoke truly. Jesus was reading her emails. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. But what was Jesus doing? He was trying to prepare her to receive living water. By what? Repentance. Hallelujah. Everybody okay? And the woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Okay. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is a place where one ought to worship. Now, think about this. She used the word worship. When Jesus didn't mention anything about worship yet. Why? Because that's how you receive living water. You repent and you worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. In other words, you worship him everywhere. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all these things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. I think she kind of freaked out after that. She probably ran to the city like really fast. And and left the guy she was shacking up with. Worship is the key to living water to maintain a new life and a new reality. It's essential. And that's what many people lack. Although many people come to worship with lips, but not heart. And that's the difference. When you begin to worship in the heart, spirit, that's why he says, those who worship him must worship him in spirit, which is also associated with our heart. Why? Because he's seeking those who are truly sold out to worship him. This is what is maintaining living the new life. You won't backslide. You'll make mistakes, but you won't go back. You will never go back. It's impossible for you to go back. When you step into the new life and drink of the living water, you will never go back. And if God be for you, who can be against you? And I'm telling you, as a walking witness, have I made mistakes? Yes. But I've never gone back to that life. Never. I can't. I'd rather die. Worship, the key to living water to maintain a new life in this new reality. See, when you get this new life, you enter a whole new reality. You see different. You hear different. You're walking in a whole new reality. You speak differently. You got the reality. You got the language of eternal life. The world may not understand you. In fact, sometimes our own family doesn't understand us. But it's okay. You don't have to explain it. You just got to live it. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the what? Rock. On the rock. Now, what came out of the rock? Living water. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. And we know Jesus is the rock. Amen. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Why? Because it had no presence, it had no anointing, it had no presence of God. They did not maintain new life. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as a scribe. Why? Not as one that was just religious. Jesus was anointed. His words were anointed. The scribes' words were not anointed. In fact, Jesus rebuked many of them because of their traditions. Amen? We need to keep maintaining and building on the rock. By what? Worship. Worship. Worship is the key that freed every one of us in here. Worship. And worship still is the key that's going to keep you free. We must maintain the worship. Why? So we can drink of living water. Because we're living a new life. And to maintain that new life, you must get into a presence where you are finally denying yourself. And you don't care what people think about you. You only care what he thinks about you. Amen. You know, when I was in I was in Haiti, and I had my daughter, and I think you've heard this testimony. And we were walking down this road in Haiti, and man, I could begin to feel the presence of God. And all of these people were worshiping over, like, almost in the woods. There was a group of them. There was about 40 of them worshiping the Lord. No music, just worshiping the Lord. And I felt to my knees. I began to worship with them, and I wasn't even near them. Man, I began to weep and cry. My daughter was with me. And I said, Lord, why? 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 Why is this not where we are? And he said to me, because I'm all they have. And I give them. I'm all they have. See, so we must reach a place where he is everything. If you haven't reached a place where he's everything, he can't give you everything. Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to him, but who do you say that I am? In other words, who am I? Who do you believe I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So Peter got revelation. He heard from God. And I will also say to you that you are Peter, and on the rock I will what? Build my church on this revelation of what? Worship through the anointing. I'm going to build my church. Without worship, I can't build my church. Why? Because worship brings you living water and brings the anointing. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Ooh. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. On this rock, revelation of the anointing to my people, I will build my church, my kingdom, in this reality. But my kingdom will be from another reality. And those who live in the kingdom live in the true reality, not a false one. And I'll give them the keys to bind loose and strike their enemies. And strike their what? Enemies. See, many of us have gone to church and so forth, but we've never learned how to fight spiritually. You know, we just went to church to be obedient. We felt good for a moment. Oh, I went to church today. All right, let's go party now. That's how many people feel in the world. Because there's no presence of God, there's no conviction, there's no power, and there's no fight. No fight. Without a fight, we don't get anything. That's why Jesus said, on this revelation of my rock, I'm going to build my kingdom, and I'm going to give you the keys to strike. To what? Strike your enemies. Matthew 11, verse 11. And assuredly I say to you, among those born of woman, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the what? Kingdom of heaven suffers what? Violence. And the violent take it by force. That's called fight. For all the prophets and all the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who has come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I liken this generation? It is like the children sitting in the marketplaces, calling to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not lament. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. Then the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by their children. I mean, it's just amazing because the kingdom suffers violent, and we must fight to maintain the new life and the new reality. No fight. You'll get kicked out. The enemy will kick you right out easy. Is there a fight going on now? Man, it's been going on for thousands of years. But we're slowly taking ground, aren't we? First, you got to take the heavenlies, then you can take the ground. Look at Trump is on a spiritual battle. He's fighting spiritually. People are backing him spiritually and fighting. That's why he's able to do it in the physical. Because what's able to be manifested in the physical is done in the spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from among many witnesses. Commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Again, a soldier in a new life, fighting for a new true reality to be exposed and manifested. So we are exposing and manifested the false realities so that the true reality of the kingdom of God can come forth and rescue. So we are about to enter the greatest harvest of the world. We are getting closer and closer to the Feast of Trumpets. One of these Feasts of Trumpets is going to be the rapture. We don't know what year, but I don't think it's not this year because we're not ready yet. There's got to be more souls taken. God desires that no one be left behind, but, you know, there's too many people still living for their lives and not for the life of Christ. So if you're not living for the life of Christ, then you're not living the new life. And only those who are of the new life and living the new life will go home. The rest will be left behind. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh or according to the what? Lust of the world. Amen. But according to the what? Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in his flesh. That the righteous requirement, everyone say requirement, of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the what? Flesh, but according to the Spirit. So in other words, that's why God keeps saying, don't get involved in the desires. Come out of the world system. Come out of the world system. Why? Because then you're going to be under the law of death and not of the law of life. For those live according to the flesh of the world system, set their minds on the things of the flesh or of the world. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or worldly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. And to be carnally minded is enmity or hatred against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Do you have a desire to please God? Amen. Do we need to come out? Amen. The law of the Spirit of new life and the law of death is in the old life. The flesh is associated with the lust of the world. The desires, that's what lust means, living under satanic torment. The desires of the world, ungodly desires, inhumane desires, selfish desires. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own what? Desires or lusts. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers that will cooperate with their inhumane acts according to the world. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to what? Fables, lies, doctrines of demons. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Be ready to stand and fight. I'm going to close at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. And in this it says, therefore, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Now, you have to think about this. In other words, we don't disrespect people. We don't do anything. Amen? But we do not regard those who are living according to the world. In other words, you do not trust what they say. We do not regard their words. They are of the world, and they speak as of the world. You and I are not of the world. We're different. We're out. So we don't regard all of these newscasts and all of these whatever, which are getting exposed for their lies and deception, aren't they? So we do not regard what they have to say because they're liars, just like their father, the devil. Therefore, if anyone is in what? Christ. He's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I need to clean my glasses. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us a ministry of what? Reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself and not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Be ready to fight. Remember, living the new life takes drinking of the living water. It comes by what? Worship. Worship. Remember, what you speak is what you eat. And what you eat is what you become. Praise God. So, Lord, we are grateful. We thank you for living water. And we ask that you continue to fill us and dress us with living water. You're so good to us. We love you and we thank you. You are he who does far above all we could ever ask or think. As you fed us this morning with reality, keep us in a place so we have eyes in a new realm of reality, so that we have new ears in the realm of reality, and that our heart will be the heart of the new reality with you. We thank you and we love you, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.